taking back.
I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
I'm taking back.
I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
I'm taking back my song,
my
dance,
my
joy,
my joy,
and my peace. I'm taking back.
I'm taking back
everything that the devil stole. I'm taking back.
I'm taking back
everything
that the devil stole from me.
Said I'm taking back. Taking back my soul.
Is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, and verse 7. St. John, chapter 15, verse 7. When you have it, say amen. All right. And it simply says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, hearers, and doers of his word. You may be seated in his presence. Jesus is speaking. There are so many tags we can place on this text. May I suggest whatever fits you best, put it on. Jesus is dealing with the end of his summation about staying with him, being a part of him, connecting to him. And there are several points I want to make about this, and I'm going to close this message because it is not one that we're unfamiliar with, but it's one I pray that will refresh our faith. It's not only relevant for our young people, especially those who are going off to school and those who are meeting with school challenges, but this is for believers of all ages and stages. And if we will hear this word and receive this word and do this word, we shall have what this word says. First of all, Jesus says, if ye abide in me, which suggests that we don't always abide in him. When he says, if ye abide in me, he's making clear that the principles and the promises that he proffers will only come to pass if you have a relationship with him. He begins to make clear, beginning back in verse 4, where he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So one of the things that he's clear about, that he wants us to be clear about, as he speaks from this agricultural metaphor, something hopefully we could grasp, certainly the audience to whom he spoke was able to grasp this concept because they knew about grapevines, olive vines, etc., and how the fruit grew on those things. But what he makes clear is the fact that there must abide, maintain, sustain a constant connection. Constant connection. So then he moves on to verse 5 and he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, listen to what he says, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. If there is a connection between the vine and the fruit, it's going to be fruitful. The branch is going to be fruitful. Those connected to him are going to be fruitful. And that is the whole purpose of abiding in the vine. Now, one of the other things that he makes clear is that without me, ye can do nothing. Now listen at this, because I want you to hear what he says in verse 6. Verse 4 and verse 5, he's talking about connection, connection. But in verse 6, he talks about disconnection. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Now let's ask the question, who's going to cast forth this man that's disconnected? Well, I'll tell you the answer is in verse 1, where he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He is the gardener.
He's the one who tends to the vine. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He taketh away. And every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he makes clear to us, God is watching your productivity. You say you belong to me, you're connected to me, that you're in me. God is saying, I'm watching the fruit that you produce. And if you don't produce fruit, then God says you can't stay on the vine receiving life-giving substance and put nothing out in the way of fruit. I'm going to cut you off from what gives life. Then he says again, verse 6, all right, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. And then he says, and men gather them and cast them, they wither away, first of all. That's the first part, they wither away. And when they wither away, they're good for nothing. Good for nothing. And so men gather them and cast them in the only place that they might make a difference. And that's the fire, as kindling. Yeah, I don't know. Anybody know about kindling? Some of the older folk know what I'm talking about when I talk about kindling there. Yeah. And so, and they are burned. So what does this mean? Well, if you're not fruitful, you'll be cut off and burned. All right. Now, this is only talking about those who claim to be a part of Jesus Christ. Believers. Look at what verse 7 says now. If ye abide in me. That's connection. Everybody say connection. You see, church members may belong, but they may not be connected to Christ. But disciples are connected to Christ. Everybody in the church is not connected with Christ. And there is a grave difference between those who are connected and those who are a part of a membership of a church following. One of the things you're going to note is that those who are connected to Christ imitate him and duplicate him. They show up and there's much about him because his mind is in their thought processes. They are the kind of people who talk like him, walk like him, live like him, act like him. They do the things that remind folk of him. Now I want you to see something else. They must be connected. That's point one. Point two is, and my words abide in you. That means with the connection, the words bring you closer. How many of you know words are powerful? Words can either draw you closer or words can drive you away. That's both in the spiritual and the secular arenas. Folk can say some words that'll bless your heart. Then folk can turn around and say some words that'll break your heart. Words are powerful. But when he talks about my words, plural, he's talking about his presence, his peace, his power, his provisions, his protection. He's talking about his potential. He's talking about everything that his word offers to the believer. Everything. So therefore, you've got to realize God, as the old folks say, is no shorter than his word. Meaning this, if God said it, that settles it. He says what he means, and he means what he says. And if you can attach your faith to what God has said and put that faith into action, then God is under warrant to back up what he said. See, the problem with a lot of folk today is we don't want to put the word of God into practice, and therefore we can't call God on his word because we haven't done our part. You want God to do all these wonderful things? God say, fine, do your part. We want all these blessings from the Lord, all these miracles, all these doors to be opened. God say, fine, do your part. And believers have got to act by faith. They can't just go on what they hear, what they see, what they think, what they feel, but rather what his word says. Now, here's another interesting part, because he says, after you are connected with me and my words bring you closer to me, because what it does is it takes a relationship that is brought about by our faith connecting us to our Savior who has given his life so that we could be drawn back to God through him. He's the only way man has access back up to the Father. So he makes clear that as we are, again, connected with his words, we are connected with his mind. When we're connected with his mind, we're connected with his will. The words reveal his will. I've said this 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,000 times more until we get it. God operates according to his will for the believer to trust that God does what he promises to do according to his word. God is not a man that he should lie. So when he says he's going to do it, it's if he doesn't do it, it's because you haven't done what you're supposed to do correctly. So the next thing we've got to do is call on him. Ask. Bible tells us to ask in everything. Ask. We've got to call God. Tell him what we want. Old folk made it clear. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him. See, our problem is we're around here telling them what we want. But we've got to learn to tell him what we want. And when we learn, again, because we have become intimate with him through his word, and we can remind him, you said, Lord, in your word, that if I do such and such, you would do such and such. And when you hold him to his word, listen, there is nothing closer to God than his word. And there's nothing that stirs him up more than his word. And all heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of his word shall ever pass. So you need to fall in love with him through his word. You want to get close to him? Get in his word. Get to know his word. And then you know his will. And then when you start praying authoritatively, according to the will of God, you don't have to ask questions about if it's his will or, Lord, if you're going to do it for me, because you know according to that word, that will, that God's going to do it according to your faith. Now, we're asking God for so much. We stand in need of so much today. There's so much going on in our world today, and it appears that the church is powerless to have any real impact and change on the world. We don't want to go out into the world, and we don't want the world to come into our church. We color our windows so they can't see in, and we make sure we don't want to look out. We don't want to take the word of God outside these walls, and we want to have a fellowship with folk that look like us, sound like us, believe like us only. We don't want to be witnesses to a dark world as shining lights so that they can know the God that we know. And that's what he called us to do, that we might be witnesses unto him. If you look at a saint with no power, you're looking at a saint who doesn't witness. I said, if you're looking at a saint who has no power, you're looking at a saint who doesn't witness. Because you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And the first order of business is you're going to be witnesses unto him. And when you are witnesses unto him, the Holy Ghost takes that word and empowers that word that you speak and convicts men's heart. You can't convict folk. I don't care what you tell them, how you talk to them, or even cuss them out. That ain't going to convict folk. Only the ministry of the Holy Ghost brings conviction on men. Because when you start telling them about their faults, they'd be like, you ain't perfect. You got sins as well. And so you got to realize you can't get in the finger-pointing business because you ain't perfect. But you need to be able to tell him about the one who looked beyond your faults and met every one of your needs, and what he's done for you, he can do the same for them. Then you call upon him. Here it is. You abide in him. His words abide in you, and ye shall ask what ye will. Now, this is an interesting twist on words, because the truth of the matter is, when you dig deeper into the scripture, when it says, and ye shall ask what ye will, you can ask God for what you want. Guess what happens when his word is in you and you abide in him? You're connected to him. You're close to him. Guess what you ask him for? You ask him for what he wants for you. Somebody missed that. It appears to sound like you can ask him for anything. God, I want a big pile of gold, and I want a big mansion and service, and all that's fine and good and everything. But when you're close to him, you want to get from him what he wants you to have. You want what his heart wants. And listen, he wants you to be blessed. The word is filled with the fact that he wants his people to be blessed. In the Old Testament, the most blessed people were the people of God. The wealth, the riches, the land, all of that belonged primarily to the people of God. And that was a wealth transfer somewhere between there and now. But God promises it's going to again be restored, and what the canker worm has eaten up, he's going to straighten that mess out for us. And what the devil stole from us, we're going to get seven times back. But we've got to learn how to walk in the authority of God's word. So listen at this. When you learn how to ask him for what he wants you to have, that's his will. Now, I'm not saying you can't ask him for the natural things, because here's the truth of the matter is, if you learn how to ask him for the spiritual things, the natural things are going to come. How can you say that, Pastor? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things that were in the preceding verse. Food, fashion, fitness, finances, your future. All of those things that preceded that when he said, and all these things. Go back into chapter 6 and begin to read those things, and you're going to see all of these things he says, do the Gentiles seek after. He doesn't have a problem with him, but he wants you to prioritize those things. Because if he had a problem with them, he wouldn't add them to you. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. It's all right to have all of that after you have put him first. Let him be the one you seek after, not gold, not things, not fame, not glory, but him and his righteousness. And watch him just start stacking stuff up around your doorstep. But listen again at what he says, and I'm closing. And ye shall ask what ye will. What ye will. And when you, through the word he has placed in you, connected to him, you begin to want what he wants, and want what he wants for you, and want what he wants through you. And when you learn how to get that straight, all the stuff that everything and everybody around here trying to get, God is going to do it unto you. To you. To you. To you. To you. To you. And what that means very simply is this. If we want something from the Lord, make sure we're connected. First point, first business of order. Make sure we're connected to him. Secondly, if his word is in us, then that draws us closer to him. The closeness of his word in us keeps him on our minds, keeps him in our hearts. The closeness makes us want to desire the things that pleases him, that makes us better people. Listen at this. And then we've got to learn that God wants us to ask him for those things. What things? Everything we have need of. He wants us to ask him for it. Why? Because we're in relationship. And a child who's in relationship with their parents and a good relationship does not have a problem coming up to mom and daddy, say, I want this, I want that, whatever the case is. And according to their faith and their behavior and conduct and all the other things that they do, the parent has no problem. But now let that child be disobedient. That's still their child. They still have the relationship, but the parent's words are not resonating on the inside. And the parents are quick to say, no, because I told you to do such and so and so. Or I told you to do this, I told you to do that. Or you don't do what I ask you to do or tell you to do. So no. See, so that is a stipulation on what that parent's going to do for a disobedient child. Now the child got to buy him some school clothes, but they ain't got to take him shopping and buy him all of the wonderful things that he wanted on that list. You know, he ain't got to get the best tennis and the best, you know, jeans and the best this, that, and other. Take him on down. Well, no, Walmart is a premium store now. Man, you say Walmart, woo! No. I mean, but you know, you ain't got to be all GQ'd on now with the name brand stuff. They just got to provide something clean and good, decent for you. That's all. But to give you the best when you show them your best. And when you ask,